up. I got a word, I got a message, but since I woke up this morning, God's been speaking to me about something, and it kind of fits, so we'll just run with it right now. You know, when I reached 5 years old, they tried to get me in at 4 and a half, but I still remember the day I went with my father down to the Dalmuir Primary School, we went in the headmaster's office, and the headmaster said, "I'm sorry, we can't take them, the school's flooded." And I was looking for the flood. I was thinking, where's all the water, you know? But what he really meant was there were too many on the roll. And so he said, "You'll have to bring them back at the next..." Back then you could be admitted, I think, 2 times a year. And that's not good back, I really understand. This was 1964. But when I first entered into the Scottish education system to receive my formal education, the primary function of the teachers within that system was to establish you in what they called the 3 R's. Come on. Reading, writing, and they couldn't spell themselves, arithmetic. So they realised that if they could establish you, if they could teach you how to read, how to write, and how to count, then they would have set you up for life. Amen. And I tell you, I had 5 different teachers in these first 7 years of primary school. I can still name them all. And I thank God for what they put into my life, and they taught me how to read, and they taught me how to write, and they taught me how to count. And it has stood me well over the years. Hallelujah. But many years ago, a long time ago now, the Lord gave me the 3 R's of the kingdom. Real, relevant, and radical. And he gave me that, within that prayer of alignment, remember the prayer of alignment, "Our Father in heaven," he said, that's real community. Real, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," that's a worshipping community, that's real community. Real community can only be found in a worshipping community.
That's right.
It's so real, you become part of this family. Come on, we just got an email, a text this morning from part of our family. As far away as you can get from here, down in New Zealand, who in worship 12 hours ago, God brought us to her mind. And God gave her a word of encouragement for us. Come on! Come on! Real, that's real! That's not fake! That's not contrived! She didn't send it out in a tweet to her 5 million followers. It was personal. It was family. That's real. That's real community.
Right.
Relevant. He said, your kingdom come. He said, that's relevant culture. The culture of the kingdom is the only culture that is relevant to every situation that you are facing in your life. Yes. Because the culture of this world, no matter what culture or subculture you attach yourself to, you will discover does not have the answers that you're looking for.
Right.
Might scratch your itch for a little while, but it has nothing for you. When it comes to the real basics, fundamentals of life, real life, you will not find the answers in the culture of this world. Only kingdom culture contains these answers and solutions. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Because when sickness attacks your body, there's healing in the kingdom. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
When sin comes banging down your door and trying to rip you off and trying to devastate your family through obeying its call, then I'll tell you, come on, shakabasaka, window. Only! The kingdom has a solution for that. In the kingdom, there's relevant culture. It's relevant to every area of your life. Come on. Your spirit, your soul, your body, right down to your finances. Kingdom culture is relevant.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's radical creativity. When Jesus came from heaven to earth, when he brought the kingdom of heaven into the earth, broken lives got healed.
Yes.
People with limbs missing had their limbs restored. Radical creativity. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were unstopped. This is not fairy tale. This is radical creativity. The 3 R's of the kingdom. And God spoke to me many, many years ago. He said, when you people come in to the kingdom, I am commissioning you to establish them in the 3 R's of the kingdom.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Real community. Nothing breaks my heart more than to see people fall out of church. I don't know how that happens to people. I honestly don't know how it happens, but I see it happen. And nothing breaks my heart more because I know they're wandered off into the most dangerous place they could ever go. Because they don't realize, because they've been in church, they've got a target on their back. You may have, if you believe in the devil, you may have thought the devil hated you before, but I tell you, he hates you more now. And he will work. But Jesus said he only ever comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I tell you, it's no coincidence. I read the Bible cover to cover, and this morning I was in Mark chapter 4, reading about the parable of the sower. It's no coincidence. Jesus explained how the kingdom works, and how people who are outside of the kingdom can't understand the kingdom. I said it last week, there are two parallel kingdoms. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. They're synonymous, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. And when you're born again, you're supposed to exchange kingdoms. You're transferred from one kingdom to another. You migrate from one kingdom to another. And then you begin to speak the language of the kingdom, and everybody else who's still in the kingdom of the world thinks you're an alien. And you are. I was remembering just earlier on as we were in worship here, I was remembering when these couple of years I was looking after Granny, and sometimes I'd end up watching some of these daytime television programs. And occasionally I'd watch one called Wanted Down Under. Ever seen that?
Yeah.
Usually there's a family, there's maybe one member of the family who's always had this thing about moving to Australia or New Zealand. And so they get hooked up with the producer of this program, and they send the full family down to wherever it is. And they have a wee trial run of what it's like to live in this place. And then at the end they have to vote on different things, you know, and they I can't remember how it all works, but I didn't see it that often. But, and at the end, you know, they have to say, do we want to move here? Or they have to weigh up all the costs of moving and all of the things they're going to leave behind, family and friends, thousands of miles away, and all of these different things, and they go and they look at similar jobs that they could apply for, and the wages and the cost of living and the lifestyle, and most of them they vote on the lifestyle because the lifestyle is apparently so far more laid back and whatever. But in the end, some of them vote to go, and some of them vote to come back home and stay home, not to follow through. As I was thinking about that, I thought, you know, well, the kingdom version of that program is Wanted Up Over. All God has ever wanted for us fallen human beings is to bring us back up over into his kingdom.
Amen.
You know, some people, they have a wee go, they have a wee try. They get born again and they give it a try. Let's go into this new kingdom. But then they have opportunity, you see, to weigh it all up and say, well, you know, and I'll tell you why a lot of people want to go back. And there's a biblical precedent for this, you know that, don't you? Remember Israel, supernaturally delivered out of Egypt, out of the bondage. For years they've cried, God heard their cry. God, who loves people more than we can even possibly begin to imagine, heard their cry. And he sent deliverance. Joe already mentioned Moses and his calling at the burning bush, and God sent him back in there to bring his people out. And they are supernaturally under the blood. The only one way to come out of darkness into light, that's under the blood.
Yeah.
The blood of Jesus. The blood of the Lamb. But it's not long after they come out, I could go into that whole thing, but in fact I was looking at a lot of that yesterday evening, but there's a lot I could say about that. I'm just going to stay on a little bit on focus here right now. But it wasn't very long before they were saying, let's go back. Let's go back to the place of bondage. Let's go back to the place that we were trying to get out of.
Yeah.
And I'll give you one reason why a lot of people opt out of the kingdom, or they still want to stay the people of God. They don't want to not be have some kind of religion. They want to have some kind of backup, you know. But they reject kingdom because they don't like being an alien in this world. They don't like speaking the language of the kingdom and people mocking them and laughing at them. They don't like speaking the language of the kingdom and people calling them insane and a nutcase and a fruitcake and all that other stuff. But I'll tell you, the benefits of being in the kingdom far outweigh anything that the kingdom of this world can chuck at you. And not only that, we have a commission, folks. We have a commission from our Father in Heaven, Almighty God Himself, and that is to reach other people with the good news of this kingdom. To get alongside them, no matter how they might ridicule, no matter how much they might stand against it, no matter how much they want to argue against it, we have been given a commission to come alongside them and say, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near to you. I'm giving you a choice. I'm giving you an option in your life right now. Do you want to continue living according to the dictates of this world that is controlled by someone who hates you in a way that hate can't really very easily be defined? You might think what hate is like, but you don't know how much the devil hates you, and he is the prince of this world, and he's a master at deception. He hates you and you don't even know it. He hates you and he does things in your life that are so destructive and you blame God for it. That's deception. The kingdom of heaven has drawn near to you. Here's your choice. You can make a move. You can migrate from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I will guarantee you, your life will be real. You'll discover that you're part, all of a sudden, of a real community where there's relevant culture and where there's radical creativity.
Yes, yes.
That's why Jesus said, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Establishing them in the 3 R's of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on now. Hallelujah. We have moved from the decade of seeing. Remember the iron years? The iron has a numerical value of 70. The Hebrew letter iron has a numerical value of 70. We move from the decade of the 5770s according to the Hebrew calendar, or the 2010s according to the Gregorian calendar. And we're moving now according to the Gregorian calendar into the 5780s, which began, of course, back in Rosh Hashanah in September. But we're moving according to the Gregorian calendar in the 2020s, the decade of the 2020s. So we've moved from the decade of seeing, because the Hebrew letter ayin, it talks about seeing.
Yes.
It's the pictogram associated with that is like an eye. And so we're moving from the decade of seeing, from receiving revelation. See, that's what you need to understand. I said I was in Mark chapter 4 this morning, the parable of the sower. So, Jesus said, the disciples said, why do you teach them in parables? He said, so that seeing they will not see and understand they will not understand. Because there's only one way to see in the kingdom, and that's through revelation knowledge. Through that knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives to you. That's why when you're talking kingdom language, even you try and make it as simple as you can. Nothing more simple than the parable of the sower, and yet the people missed it. Disciples didn't understand. They said, what was that all about? Tell us what it was all about. And he tells them what it was all about. So the first thing that happens when a preacher sows the word, preaches the word, is the devil comes to steal that word out of your heart.
Boy, that's right.
Because the word of God is how God communicates his will and purpose for your life to you. And you must have revelation knowledge of that word. So we've moved from the decade of seeing, from receiving revelation, being established in the truth of God's heart and God's purpose, to the decade of seeing what we have seen. God gave us this prophetic declaration, proclamation for us in this year as the year of the unashamed. I am not ashamed of the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, everyone who's willing to receive. The good news that the kingdom of God has come near you. You can transfer kingdoms. These are the pay years. Pay is a Hebrew word. Later, it has a numerical value of 80. This pentagram is like a mouth. So we're moving from the decade of seeing to saying what we have seen, of being unashamed in declaring and proclaiming everywhere we go, the kingdom of heaven has drawn near to you. Unashamedly declaring and proclaiming the whole truth. Say the whole truth. The whole truth of the full gospel, the revelation of that truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And what Rachel read earlier, as you know, I was out when she read it, but she gave me the, what she read, and I read it, and I couldn't believe it, because the title of this message is Exit the Old and Enter the New. Amen. Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19, Amplified Bible. Do not earnestly remember the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it, and will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Amplified Bible. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. The old is gone. The new has come. Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24, again from the Amplified. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. You know, everywhere you go, or every church you might visit, or most places you go, and most things you might listen to online, and writings that people write, and books and everything else, you hear a lot of people talking about how God is doing a new thing, or how he is going to do a new thing. Well, according to Acts chapter 17, when Paul was at Ephesus, he explained this to the people of Athens, according to what he said there, when you find people who are continually looking for a new thing, it's really just a manifestation of a religious spirit. Mm-hmm. Still with me? Mm-hmm. Any religious spirits fly out there right now? See, the truth is, do you like the truth?
Yeah.
Well, the truth is that the new thing prophesied by Isaiah was actually fulfilled 2,000 years ago, when Jesus established the new covenant. And so we can step into and begin to experience God's new thing at any time.
Yeah.
We don't have to run around looking for it.
Yeah.
We don't have to wait for it to come, because it's already been established. I mean, to be perfectly honest, when this church first began, when we first had our first service in Stormy, it was 2 years after we began, in the first meeting in the Key Street building out there, I remember, God gave me that scripture, Isaiah 43:18. I started off the service with it. I said, God's told me to read this scripture. And a lady who was visiting us from England, who was actually staying in Harris, down in Tarbert, came up from Tarbert and was about half an hour late getting to the service. And when she came in, she said, God's given me a word, and it was exactly the same scripture. So back then you're thinking, oh wow, yeah, here we go, the new thing. No. What God was saying is, I'm bringing you back to the place of proclaiming the new thing that I established 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
You see, the only hindrance to an experiencing the new thing is if we choose to hold on to the old things.
Yeah.
The only way we can fully and truly embrace the... You heard of that? I can't remember exactly what the experiment with the monkey, can you? But the monkey sticks his hand in the jar, he sees a nut and he only grabs it, and of course he can't get his fist back out because the nut has increased the size of his fist, and the hole in the jar is just big enough for his fist with no nut to come back out. But he refuses to let go of that nut because he wants that. I was thinking about this, I thought, what happened if you brought a bunch of bananas in there right there? Would he still hold on to the nut? or would he let go of the nut and say, stuff that nut, I'm going to have a banana? But a lot of people that refuse to let go of the old things, and because of that, they're stuck. They can't begin to embrace the new and experience the new because they're still unwilling to let go of the old. The old is gone. The new has come. The old is gone. The old way of thinking and reasoning must go. Remember, old thoughts will produce old words, and old words will become old actions, and old actions will form the old, will continue the old habits, and you'll remain in your old character, and you'll continue in your road to your old destiny. Why? Because you kept thinking the old way. You know, the real tragedy I find very often is that you don't have to sit around too long with someone and listen to their words before you realise that they actually are still stuck in and bound by the old. You discover the old hasn't gone. They're still talking like the old person. No, they weren't born again, but they haven't transferred kingdoms, or they've gone back to the old. They decided to go back to the old because they tried talking the new, and everybody laughed at them. And everybody mocked them. So it's more comfortable just to go back to the old. Except old thoughts will lead you to the old places that you used to be, the old places of failure and disappointment and disillusionment. Come on. That's why Jesus said this in Luke chapter 5, verse 37 to 39. You need to understand, it was 1993 that we became New Wine Church. From 1991 to 1993, we were Westside Community Church of God, or Christian Fellowship, or whatever you like to call it. We were called worse things than that, but that's beside the point. Luke chapter 5, verses 37 to 39, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the fresh wine will burst the skins, and it will be spilled, and the skins will be ruined and destroyed. Why? Because new wine is very active. And the old wineskins were made from a goat skin, and the goat skin, when it got old, got brittle and shriveled. And so if you put new wine in the old wineskin, it would explode. But new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is good or better. So I think most people are going to have shaky moments. In fact, according to Jesus, everyone will have shaky moments in that time of transition. Most people had shaky moments when they first went to school. I couldn't believe that there was kids there crying for their mammy. I was desperate to get to school. I wanted to get away from that mess. I was happy when mammy showed up at the gates at the end, but glory to God, a few hours of freedom, come on. I couldn't believe those kids there crying, and their mother had to come in and sit with them for about 3 days a week. But a lot of people, they had issues when they first started school. And you know what? If you quit after a few days, or after a few weeks, or even after a couple of years, you're not going to get established in what you need to be to do life in this world. And it's the same in the kingdom. Come on. Most people have issues. There's challenges. Come on. I just want to go home and sit with mammy all day, you know, and follow her around and let her make me, give me milk and cookies so I can have a nap in the afternoon. Come on. No one after drinking old wine immediately desires new wine, for he says the old is good or better. Why? Because the old is what you were accustomed to. The old is what you found comfortable, even if it was a mess. Some people will get a new pair of slippers this Christmas. Beautiful slippers. They smell new and everything comfy, and they'll put on the old holy ones. And the new ones will sit there for about 2 years until the holes are bigger than the what's left in the old ones. And you'll ask them why, and they say, because they're comfortable. And everybody else looks and says, how can they possibly be comfortable? They're a mess. I know, I'm looking at you, some of you, you say, no, that's you, yeah, yeah. We've become so conditioned to the old that we're crazy enough to think that it's actually good enough or even better. The problem with that kind of mindset in the church is that we then formulate a theology that supports our failure to enter in and enjoy the new. And it becomes the tradition. I mean, no wonder contemporary Christianity often bears very little resemblance to the experiences of the first believer. I began to realise a long time ago that while very often we're quick to accept Jesus as our saviour, we haven't always been so quick to accept and embrace the full salvation that he has provided for us. In fact, most people have to backslide. After they're born again, they have to backslide before they're comfortable in church. Most people, after they're born again, very quickly, if not immediately, will backslide into the old way of thinking, which in turn leads to the old way of speaking, the old way of acting, and so on and so on and so on. And then, at the end of the day, it's hard to tell the difference between someone who's in the kingdom, someone who's born again, and someone who isn't. They like the same things, they go to the same places, they pursue pleasure in the same things, all of these different things. All that remains of their profession, sometimes, not all the time, is their outward observances of religious duties and rituals. I want you to hear this morning. Even though their born-again spirit cries out for reality, there is nothing in the old to satisfy it. There's nothing. After you're born again, you will discover there is nothing in the old that can satisfy you. Yeah. Nothing.
That's right.
Or you'll try and go back to what's comfortable in your thinking or in your soul life. What used to feel good, you know, try and get it to feel good. You'll discover there's nothing. Once you're born again and had a taste of that other kingdom. Because everything changes. I remember we used to hear people's testimonies. Maybe this was part of your testimony. They said, oh, even the grass was greener. The sky was bluer. Why? Because you've changed kingdoms. You see things from a totally different perspective. Everything has changed. There's nothing in the old to satisfy anymore. Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 3, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, that unless a person is born again, anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, or be acquainted with, and experience the kingdom of God. So there's an opportunity if you're born again. But not everybody embraces that opportunity. Not everybody actually gets to see the fullness of that, even though they are born again. You must be born again. Your thoughts must be born again. You must begin to think new creation thoughts. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, if anyone is in Christ, he is. Say is. He is a new creation. But if he doesn't think new creation, he'll never experience the reality of being a new creation. I can't think old. I have to think new. That's why the Bible says take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What's the obedience of Christ? Well, the obedience of Christ took him to the cross, where he died our death so that we could begin to live his life. Does this thought originate from the old me or from the new me? Because if it's from the old me, I need to put it away from me. I need to bury it because it's dead. What do you do with something that's dead? You bury it. Why? Because it'll stink if you don't. That's why some people call it stinking thinking. Why is it stinking thinking? Because it's dead thinking. It's the thoughts of death, not of life. And the thoughts of death bring the words of death. And so on and so on. Remember, there's two parallel kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world. And when you're born again, you automatically, and I want you to hear, supernaturally move kingdoms. It's supernatural.
Amen.
You become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, which makes you an alien in the kingdom of this world.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. Hold that at the forefront of your mind, because you need to understand. That's why people are laughing at you sometimes. That's why people are mocking you sometimes. That's why people are going, oh, that's ridiculous. That's why people want to fuss and cuss and argue with you all the time when you say, no, that God has provided healing. And people will reject that. I mean, I said, somebody said to me, oh, come on, lay off. And I said, it's only the good news. And they go, no, I suppose that is right. It's like, you're only bringing good news. You're not telling you, wicked, horrible, disgusting little piece of filth, I'm going to step all over, God's going to blast you out of here and win. Come on. You're bringing them good news. And they're like, go away. That's because they're still under the dictates of this world. They're still under the kingdom of this world. That's why God is saying, I want you up over. You're wanted up over. In this world you will have tribulation. That's not a promise for the kingdom of the saints of God. He said, but be of good cheer. I have come over. I have overcome. I am up over. I want you up over. So where you can be of good cheer, where you can laugh and dance and shout and sing. Or you can stay down there if you want. And you can take that as a promise. But in this world you'll have much tribulation, testing, trial, squeezing, squashing, that word means actually. I actually think that's how God got the new wine out of us. Because the word is a word that's used, the word that's there for tribulation is a word that's used for the squashing and the squeezing of olives and grapes in a press. So I thought, in my old thinking, in my old religious thinking, my old traditional religious thinking that I've been programmed with as a believer, I thought, well, that must be how God gets the new wine out of us. Bring on the tribulation. Except you didn't get much new wine out, you get more, oh, this is horrible, oh, I can't hear you, I can't stand any more, help. That's not new wine talk. How does Jesus get new wine? He takes water.
Yes.
He doesn't say, behold, brethren, go out and plant a new vineyard. So this will never happen again, and a wedding feast will never run out of wine again. Plant a vineyard down there, I will bless it, and it will always produce the best of wine. Now he says, fill these water pots with water, will you? The kingdom is now.
Amen.
We're not going to have to wait another year for this harvest that's going to bring in the wine. No. Fill these water pots with water.
Yeah.
Now draw some of that water. Woo! Lo and behold, it ain't water no more. It's wine like nobody's ever tasted before. It's new wine.
Yeah.
Oh, Rabbi Shaka. And what did Jesus say? Humanly speaking, these things are impossible. We're not humanly speaking anymore.
That's right.
That's why you sound like an alien.
Because
you don't speak human anymore. You're not speaking humanese anymore.
Yeah.
You're speaking alienese.
Yeah.
Kingdom language. And you have to acknowledge, yes, I agree with you, absolutely, 100%. Give me a hug just to certify that. Now, humanly speaking, that's impossible, but we're not talking humanly speaking.
Right.
With God, nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
He's with us.
Yes.
And he wants us, he's wanted up over.
Yes.
Where this actually works, where it's real, and where it's relevant, and where it's always radical. If it's not radical, put it decidedly.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. You know what? The water, the Holy Spirit, the Word. The water is used symbolically for the Word and the Holy Spirit. You know how God brings a new wine in your life? The Word and the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Holy Spirit. The Word and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
What was his word to these people? Come on. Is that now part of the Word of God? Because it was the Word of God, because God was speaking. God said, fill these waters with water. That was his word, that was the Word of God.
Yeah.
Who turned the water into wine? The Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You've got to catch this, man.
Because
He saved the best to last.
Yeah.
You mean, are we in the last days? No, we've been in it for 2,000 years. Now we may be in the last of the last, but we've been in the last days for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And here it comes. Let's update that word. Let's turn that logos into a rhema right now. Now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. When? Right now. I'll wait 5 minutes, I'll say it again, and it'll be updated again, Continually being updated. Now. Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 5 things. Ali, now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's another 5 things. Ali, now your salvation is nearer than when you first. Why do you keep saying that? Because it's because now. I've had people say, "One guy said you're just flogging that healing horse to death." I says, well, think about what you just said there. Oh, yeah, you're healing. I says, well, people understand the word is a now word. Now is the accepted time. Right now is the time, the day to experience your salvation. Today is the day. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. This is a now word.
Right.
You said the same thing last week. No, I didn't. It's a now word today.
That
was a now word last week, but now it's a now word today. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 to 14. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Oh, hallelujah. You know how you know your thinking has changed? I just got this right down the pipe, right. Hallelujah. You know how? Your thinking changes.
Yeah.
I say this to you many times, but a long, long time ago now, the Lord turned all of my prayers into thank you prayers. I realised I wasn't here to try and convince God that I needed things and beg him and plead with him and do all of these things that you do to try and get something out of the hands of God. I just started to thank him for what he's already done. Thank him for what he's already provided. Hallelujah. And it changed everything. Come on. I tell you, anytime I feel a symptom in my body of sickness or anything else trying to penetrate through that shield of faith, I say this is how I say it. I just say, Father, I've only got one confession. You're my healer.
That's right.
I've only got one. Thank you that you're my healer. I've got nothing else to say. Thank you that I'm the healed. Thank you. I'm not trying to heal. I am already healed. And this sickness has to get out of here because I'm healed. And sickness has no place in a healed body.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
That's how I do it. It doesn't sound very holy or very spiritual or very religious, but that's what I say. Thank you. I've only got one confession. You're my healer. And then all the other stuff comes. All of the other fiery darts start coming. I say, well, humanly speaking, these things are impossible. But my God, my healer, all things are plausible. Hallelujah. He's already declared it. If he's declared it, I believe it. Because I believe it, that's settled. Hallelujah. Because he told me all I had to do was believe that. Hallelujah. But what if? I don't do what ifs. I don't live by if faith, I live by faith.
Yeah.
Faith that comes by hearing what God says, by building your life on what he has said. Nothing else. I'm not interested in anything else but what God has said. I don't care who said it, how many degrees of that, and then you might have to turn the page to get them all in his letterhead. I don't care what he said. I'm believing what God said.
Amen.
don't bring me what so-and-so says, or the other guy said, or the other fella. No, if it contradicts what God said, if it wants to take away from what God said, well, you can stick it where it belongs. In the bin. So go one better, light a fire with it. Somebody from a cult one day said, would you like one of our books? I said, well, if you don't mind me lighting the fire, I'll take it. That's one of our holy books. I said, I don't care where you go. I said, I'll light the fire if you give it. One less for someone else to get deceived by. Come on. I remember going in the bookshop in Stormy one time. I was looking through and I saw this book and I picked it up and I thought, I'm going to buy that book so that nobody else can buy it. I looked through, they only had one copy, I'm going to buy that. Not so I could read it, so that nobody else can buy it. You know your thinking has changed because your thinking has changed. Your language has changed. And it just so happens that to those who are still occupying the kingdom of this world, you'll be speaking in your knees. That's just the way it is. And that's why we need to pray that God will give them understanding. God will open the eyes of their understanding to be able to hear what you're saying is the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth, because only the truth can set people free.
Yeah.
Go back and read the parable of the sower again. It's awesome. I mean, there's different stages there. But I've seen people who've been born again, but they get ripped out of the different stages. And you think, I was talking to the Lord, I was having a wee conversation with the Lord this morning. I said, Lord, you know what it really comes down to in my life, I believe in. He said, what's that? I said, there's only one thing that I don't get everything right. There's one thing that's down there, and I've told people this before, it's the only tattoo that I have and the only tattoo I will ever have. And I say that to you, and they say, oh, you got a tattoo? I said, yeah. I can't show you. I can't show you, I said, because it's on my spirit. It's two words. Well, what's that? Don't quit. Don't quit. And you know, if I've got anything going for me at all, apart from the fact that God is on my side, and you know what I'm talking about, as far as my choices, my decisions, my ability to, do it, because I can't do nothing. If you think I'm pathetic now, you've seen me before, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I wasn't really good at fighting, I couldn't even find my way out of a paper bag, man. You know, I tried that a few times, I was rubbish at it. But I said, Lord, I think it's just these two words, don't quit. If there's anything that I'm good at, it's not quitting. That's it. Because if you don't quit, you can't fail. If you don't quit, you can't fail. I'm going to stop there because we haven't even got a tenth of the way through this morning. Hallelujah. But the invitation, as always, is this. You must be born again. And then you must take your opportunity to fully enter in, to leave, to exit the old and to enter the new, to leave the old behind. And we'll come back to this next time, I think. Next week, and fully embrace everything that has become yours as a not longer a citizen of this world, but a citizen of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, you're now an alien in this world. So don't let that upset you. You're an alien now because God wanted you up over. Hallelujah. Don't ever be tempted to go back. There's nothing for you. If you go back, you will discover there's nothing but nothing but nothing but nothing but nothing right there that can ever satisfy you. But there is everything that can satisfy you in His kingdom. Not just satisfy you, but fill every longing. And tomorrow you might wake up with a fresh longing and He'll fill that too. Hallelujah. You'll never, ever, ever plumb the depths of His ability to satisfy you. Hallelujah. And I tell you, every day that you choose to remain a citizen of His kingdom, your feet are standing right there in the presence of the Lord, and you will be satisfied. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you did not create us with hunger and thirst, so that we could never be satisfied. Thank you. You created us with the ability to hunger and thirst so that you could meet us every time. That's why you said, give us today our daily bread. Give us today that which will satisfy our hunger and satisfy our thirst for reality, for the real, for the relevant, and for the radical. For yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory, forever and forever. Amen.
This passion.